Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Hi, it's Nick. We're about to punch you in the mouth with fantasy baseball flavor. That's right, you heard me. I'm not taking it back. There's no other way to describe the tools that Rudy has busted out this week at Razzball.com. We are officially unveiling the Hittertron. And you better sit down for this, because Razzball.com now officially has player pages just for fantasy baseball. How's that for punching the mouth? Okay, now close your mouth. Well, after that big announcement, everything else is kind of secondary. We will, however, have Smokey on to help you weed through the haze that is bullpens. You see what I did there? Twice. We'll also have JB on to talk about how these new Razzball tools are like having superpowers when you're playing at DraftKings.com. All that plus Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble. Okay, that's incorrect. Just Rudy today, because we're going to have to peek into his brain to discuss these new applications, and that might take a while to get through the first layer of bone. So yeah, it's just Rudy today. It's the Razzball Podcast for the week of May 20th. Here we go. Now we're joined for the closer report by Smokey, a.k.a. Smokey McPot. You can follow him on Twitter at Smokey McPot. Smoke, you don't have a lot of Twitter followers. I think we might have to change your Twitter handle. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I'm not social media savvy at all.
Yeah. You got one skill.
It makes me nervous.
Use your thumb for one thing and one thing only, and that's holding the trigger.
That and clicking accept on Pornhub.
Hey, speaking of which, I'm going to put this out there. What's your favorite, let's just say, late-night candy?
Late-night candy. You know what? I like the crunchy Cheetos, not those air-blown Stay Puft-looking things, the crunchy cheese ones.
No, I know what you're saying, man. I totally hear you. By the way, I think we need a crunchy cheese puff sponsor.
I'll look into it. I'll look into it.
The reason I bring that up, Smokey, is because last night I was sitting around and I'm like, I have a genius idea. Why isn't there a Skittles soda? Think about it.
Yeah, I think there is. It's called like a. Isn't it like a Slurpee? Isn't it like a Slurpee?
No, but I'm talking like if I worked at Skittles, if I was the VP of marketing at Skittles, whoever you are, I'm gonna check that on LinkedIn. I'd be like, hey, we need a Skittles soda. To me, it makes sense. It's so much flavor.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe drop a Don't You Know Who I Am? One of those.
Listen, I wish I was VP of marketing at a candy conglomerate. All right, let's talk bullpen, Smoke.
You got it. All right.
So let's start off with the Dodgers bullpen. I know you're not a big fan of Brandon League. How do you see that situation unfolding?
To be honest, the situation is going to figure itself out because Mattingly is going to be fired. It's not his fault, and it's hard to win when you have 2.5 starting pitchers all year. And the bullpen, he makes shoddy decisions at the end of the games.
Okay, listen, that's
fair. He overuses Rodriguez, he overuses Kenley Jansen, and he brings him in tie games or blowout games that they're already winning, which is very rare.
Okay, so who do you think at the end of the year, from today to the rest of the season, is going to lead that team in saves?
Jansen.
I said saves, not heart palpitations.
Well, he's a big guy. He's a big guy. He's like Hank Gathers big.
He's like Big Biscuit big. Did you know JB's like 6'8"?
Really?
Seriously.
Can he outrun a baseball bat?
I don't know. All right, second bullpen we're going to talk about is, I hate bringing them up, the Miami Marlins.
Yeah, I mean, this is the deep end of the saved ocean here. I mean, they're going to win, what, maybe 55 games all year? And they had a great closer. I mean, great for them in terms of getting saves that they could actually win. But now he can't get out left-hander batters, so now they're going to mix and match. And Mike Dunn got the save on Sunday. Chad Qualls was warming up yesterday, I believe. And then the manager came out and said, well, it's a closer whenever we need him kind of situation.
Okay, so who do you see from today to rest of season leading the Marlins in saves?
Cishek.
All right. So you think he'll come back even though he sucks against lefties?
Yeah, I think he's just overworked. He worked a lot. It seems to me, I don't have proof to back this up, but a lot of the guys who work in the WBC seem to be fading out right now.
I love when you come on and don't have proof. I love your wild speculation.
Yeah, okay. I know I was a third gunner on the other side of the other grassy knoll.
All right, third team we're going to talk about is the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Yep.
I'll just let you go with it, because I was going to make a, hey, Mike Trout should close joke, but that probably wouldn't be very funny.
He should. He's from Jersey. the Angels are just like the Dodgers, very underwhelming. Nobody's winning. They're not winning at all. I mean, they have all this payroll, and it's very under whatever. You know, Madsen's coming back in probably less than a month, you know, and Frieri hasn't done anything wrong. You know, he's pitching great. His ratios are great. His blown save ratio is excellent. He's just not getting enough chances. So I think when Madsen comes back, I think that the amount of money that they're paying him, they're going to want to see what they have.
Yeah, the only concern I have with that is that when pitchers typically come back from Tommy John surgery, the control isn't there at the beginning. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. Give me, from today, rest of season, who's going to lead the Angels in saves?
I'm going to say it'll be a tie. I think they're both going to have like a dozen, Frieri and Madsen.
Way to step out on a ledge.
Scott Downs. I'll say Scott Downs. How's that?
All right. Okay, let's talk about Atlanta. I think what's interesting in that bullpen situation is that the setup guys have been going down.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, overwork has caught up to the Atlanta bullpen. I mean, they lost O'Flaherty just yesterday. I think it's confirmed that he's going for Tommy John. Venters, a week ago, it's confirmed he's going for Tommy John. So it's going to be like a fresh face, you know, like a situation in Atlanta bullpen. You got Cody Gearin, who got the save actually last night because Kimbrel has been overworked like crazy. Then you got Luis Avalon, who's been setting up. He's actually coming back from injury, and he's pitched a couple games. He's doing well. And then Jordan Walden is actually just coming back also, and he actually set a quote out. He's like, well, you got to get some people healthy because we can't have Kimbrel throw 150 innings this year.
Yeah, either that or there's another Upton brother that we don't know about.
There might be. But the good thing about Atlanta is their minor league system for relief pitchers and starting pitchers is absolutely stacked. I mean, they have tons of guys that are starting out and could jump up and be a relief pitcher for them down the stretch.
I think they actually clone the pitchers that they have, and they just, you know, do a face transplant, because it's true. The way these guys churn out pitchers is unbelievable.
And it's pretty funny. They're all from the greater Atlanta area also. That's what they do. They must have like a farm next to like the artichoke factory or whatever they grow down there. Peaches, maybe? Peaches? Yeah, peaches.
All right, let's talk about the Red Sox. What's going on there?
Oh, the Red Sox, Bailey's coming back. He came back yesterday. I believe they got activated. But they came out and said he won't be working on back-to-back days. So if you own Junichi Tozawa, I would hold for now.
Okay.
Because there's no way Bailey's going to be effective enough in the long run right away to garner like, you know, three saves a week or whatever.
Hey, Smokey, I'm telling you, remember this. Skittles soda.
Skittles soda.
And you're in Hoboken, right?
Yeah.
It's a good thing I don't live there, because two things would happen. One, the only place I've ever had, it's an Italian dish and it's regional, but the only place I've ever really seen it in North America is in Jersey is Brajol. You know what Brajol is?
Brajol? We'll go down the corner and get a super side sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. Brajol, just in case you don't know, it's like a flank steak rolled up with cheese and breadcrumbs and basil. It's beautiful, but you can really only get it in Jersey.
Very good. It's a great place in Hoboken. This is not a cheap ploy for publicity, but Vito's on Washington, they make the best fresh mozz sandwiches you'll ever have.
How you say that? That's so New Jersey. And then the other thing, it's a really good thing. I didn't go to New Jersey and hang out with you, because I would just be at Carlos's Bakery just munching.
Well, like I said, I told you how like we get in there, right? We don't have to wait in line with those tourists.
Yeah, because you just show your driver's license.
As long as you have an ID that says you live in Hoboken. Yeah, it's crazy. So if anybody in Hoboken doesn't know that, you don't have to wait in line at Carlos.
Okay, so you know what? That's how we're going to get you Twitter followers. Actually, you know what, Smokey? I'm going to help you out here. This is going to be your whole new side business. If you are a big fan of Carlos's Bakery and you don't want to go wait in the 7-hour line to get in there, tweet my man at Smokey McPot, S-M-O-K-E-E-M-A-C-P-O-T. And you know what? $50 an hour, and you can escort them right to the front of the line.
I don't know. I'd probably wake and bake, and maybe like a breadcrumb roll or something. You know?
No. Okay. Clear your head out of the haze for a second. I'm trying to set you up with a side gig here. All right, Smokey. Thanks for talking bullpens with us today, buddy.
All right, Nick. Take care.
Talk to you soon.
Getting to know Gray.
I never cry when I cut onions.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. You can follow them on Twitter at DraftKings. And you know what we did now? Here's what we did. We brought my man, Big Biscuit, a.k.a. JB. You can follow him on Twitter at JB Gilpin, to talk a little DraftKings with us. Because, JB, you've kind of become our daily fantasy expert over at Razzball.com.
Yeah, I love the daily leagues. It's fun being able to pick a new team every day instead of having to stick with your terrible draft picks from early April or late March.
David Wilson. So let's talk, JB, for a second about first-time deposits. So how does that work?
Players now, if they deposit at least $25, will get an extra $10 in their account from DraftKings.
Okay.
So if you're playing our Razzball challenges, they run $5 an entry. That would give you 7 entries. That's some good public system math right there. So you would get an extra 2 entries if you're playing Razzball only, but that's an extra little bit of money for you to win.
And that's just for, again, the Razzballers. Now, when do you write the post for DraftKings on Razzball.com?
Posts come out Wednesday afternoon around 1 Eastern. I go through the picks I made the previous week and score up how I did, and then I pick my picks for the next week. Now, I pick a few positions less than the full DraftKings lineup just because I don't want anyone to pick my exact picks. And
okay.
If for some reason that won and there was like 4 people that had the same thing, someone would yell at me. I just know it.
By the way, again, if you want someone that is quick on the trigger to interact with, if you have questions, whether it's for daily fantasy or anything Razzball related, my man at JB Gilpin, GILPIN. So, JB, I know they're running a ton of contests, but let's talk quickly about the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest, which is happening Friday nights.
You pick 2 pitchers and then all your positional players. It's usually capped at, they sometimes tweak it to 35 to 50 entries. I think lately it's been closer to around 35. You can enter twice. So you can have multiple entries, and every week the top winner gets entry into one of their huge contests. For the first month or so, they are entering into their spring fling contest, and a guy who won one of our Razzball entries got 54th in the spring fling, and that won him $200.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, just one entry of $5 from our commenter Paco Chu. I think I'm saying that right. And he turned that into $200.
Well, +2 in the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest, it's a money loser for DraftKings. So chances are you're going to win your money back. So JB, is there anyone, just tease us a little bit, anyone you're looking at for this Friday's contest that might be a sleeper worth really examining?
Yeah, just a real quick note on strategy. A big part of your points will come from your pitching. If you don't hit on your pitchers, you're almost definitely not going to win. So comparing my pick last week, Stephen Strasburg, you know, went 8 innings at Petco, 3 hits, 3 walks, only 4 strikeouts, got him 23.8 points. The week before, I picked Alex Cobb, you know, went 4.2 innings, was really shaky, but got those 13 strikeouts, and that gave him 25.7 points. So you really want to try to pick a guy who can strike a lot of guys out, which is why I'm picking Anibal Sanchez this week, going against the Twins at home. I think you could get 10 strikeouts, have a solid game.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good call. I like that. So again, you can play with Rudy from Razzball. If you want to play with us, just go to Razzball.com and go to JB's DraftKings post. If you don't know where that is, just look in the search box and type in DraftKings, and that'll take you to the most recent post that JB was kind enough to put up. So JB, we'll be looking for you Friday over at DraftKings.com. We appreciate you doing this, and thanks for being our insider, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate it. Good luck this week, and hopefully we can get some more big winners in their big contests.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you soon, JB. Thanks for joining us. Razzball!
Housekeeping.
Rudy, I can't even do an introduction for you today because I'm shaking a little bit. I'm just overwhelmed with excitement. I have 2 notes on the paper. The first one says Hittertron.
So the Hittertron basically projects next 7 days, so each day, what a hitter is going to perform at. So it's the perfect complement to Streaminator. It leverages the same data. So, you know, if it's a game with Ryan Braun, so let's say yesterday he faced Clayton Kershaw. So you're first projecting what Clayton Kershaw would do. And then, well, actually think of it this way. What would the overall hitters of the Brewers do to Kershaw? You're adjusting his stats, and then you're thinking, what would Braun individually do against Kershaw? So there's a lot involved with it. Things like, you know, where is he hitting recently so I could estimate his plate appearances correctly? Looking at the stadium to understand, you know, is it home or away? Because just we see with hitters and with pitchers, they do better at home versus away. After you take everything into account, sleeping in your own bed is worth something.
So let me just kind of paint this scenario, just in case you haven't caught up. Hopefully you're aware of the Streaminator. It's under tools at rasball.com. And basically, what the Hittertron is going to allow you to do is, let's say, you know, one of your outfielders tweaks his hamstring. Well, I went on there yesterday, and you know, it shows projections for the next 7 days. And basically, you know, the first kind of tier of guys is going to be 100% owned. But the first outfielder that was less than 60% owned was Colby Rasmus, who's a guy I'm probably not rostering in a mixed league at this point, but he has great projections for the next 7 days. So the way I looked at it is that I can really see this being leveraged in terms of, you know, the guys with the day-to-day injury. Harper was banged up the last couple days. Who would I have picked up in that scenario? You with me on that? Am I explaining that well, Rudy?
That's perfect. I mean, I think stepping back, and I covered this in the post called "A Raz New World." If you want to, person I'm not talking to directly, but is listening to this podcast. But everything between Streaminator, Hittertron, the player pages, which is the other big thing that we've launched. It's all about helping those day-to-day decisions.
I was supposed to introduce it.
I know, but it's easier just to sum it up in this thing, where I'm saying that, you know, like, I love, you know, other sites. You know, there's a lot of great content on there. There's a lot of great stats. But a lot of them you read, and then you've got to kind of do the math in your head. Should I factor this lefty versus righty split? Should I factor it's home versus away? Has he been hot? Should I factor that in? You know, is he hitting too many ground balls? Will that affect his homer rate? All that stuff's just a lot of work, and the reality is that none of our minds, even mine, can calculate that and weight that correctly. So with the Hittertron and Streaminator and the way the player page is designed, it's all about, I have to make that call. So you said it perfectly. Bryce Harper's down. Who's the best outfielder today? Not rest this season, which we'll have, but given today. So it could be, you know, Jeff Baker rakes against lefties. Maybe you put him in for this one day because he rakes against lefties and the game's at Texas. We've all thought like that, but this basically just is in the chart. You can kind of sort. We do have ownership rates, so you can get past the Ryan Braun's, like you just mentioned, and get to Colby Rasmus, who might at least be available in your league.
I'm glad that this is what you put your mind to, Rudy, because pretty much all I do is try and figure out how to turn Skittles into turn soda into a Skittles flavored soda, and basically Googling images of women in yoga pants. That's what I do.
Yeah, Skittles flavor soda. It's interesting. You're really going for a segment of the market there. So that's where everything is. And yeah, the Hittertron. You know, like there's going to be little things and that I improve throughout the year. The biggest enhancement, which is now this is, I just noted it on the page, but Streaminator now uses rest of season projections. We'll slowly get the rest of season player rater out. When I say slowly, I mean in a day or two, probably. But so Matt Harvey, as an example, went from a $12 player based on his preseason projections with his upcoming start versus Cincinnati to $21.
Of course, our listeners know what the dollar values mean, but just in case, we are referring to what their value would be in an auction today.
Right. So the player page has a ton of dollars in it, and the Hittertron and Streaminator does too. And the reason for it is that you want to you want to, you know, value each player, just come up with one metric. I want to be able to use it for hitters versus pitchers in a player rater, which is now up live, all the season-to-date player raters. So what's the easy way for me to look at it? The auction dollar amount works great for that. So, you know, if you don't, if it's not league specific, you'll see it's basically what is a player worth in a $260 auction where you have 13 hitters, 9 pitchers. It's the typical ESPN format. You know, $30 is a, and plus is a star, $20 very good player, $10 ownable, $0 is a waiver wire.
I'm an $11 podcaster.
Yeah, so the thing is, even a $0 guy, you know, if he's starting, because, you know, obviously if you think for a full year, a guy who only plays half the games is worthless. But in a given day, like Jeff Baker, if he's playing at home against a lefty, he's not bad. He's probably, I'll tell you this, Jeff Baker at home versus a lefty is better than Shin-Soo Chu against any lefty, wherever you play.
Okay, now, Rudy, what I want to do is the second thing, because let me give it a proper intro, but the second thing that was on the paper of the two lines I had was player pages. And as useful or as exciting as the Hittertron and Streaminator are, these player pages, I had a look last night after you released the post. These are, they're unbelievable. And I think the really key point here is these are geared specifically for fantasy baseball. So when you were talking earlier about having to go and do the math in your head by yourself, and again, I'm distracted by yoga pants and Jennifer Lawrence gifts, this will actually break down on one sheet what the guy's fantasy value is.
Right. So, I mean, like I said, there's a lot of good sites out there, a lot of good player pages, but they generally are from that base, a general baseball perspective. The first thing I want to know about a player isn't what he did his first year in the majors. I don't care where he was born. I don't care what he looks like. That stuff could be funny every now and then, but not at like 6:30 p.m. when you're looking for an outfielder and trying to decide between two guys.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a single page aimed to how do I make my decision for the next day, for the next 7 days, and for the rest of the year. With a huge, it's all about what am I going to do for fantasy baseball. So I could see their game log. What have they done recently? We all look at that. Whether it has a ton of value, predictive value, it's kind of questionable. But I look at the game log. What has he done his last couple starts? Does he have a home and away pattern for a pitcher? You know, so there, it's all geared toward that. And some of the stuff is probably redesigned versus how a general baseball one would be, and what I didn't find there that I wanted, I created. So things like, right, you know, what is a guy's dollar value? He spent the whole year against righties or a whole year versus lefties. And what would that amount to? So I could see something like, really? Prince Fielder is like a two, and I don't know this by heart, but he's a 250 hitter with 22 homers against lefties? That, you know, like, forget all the splits you'd find. Just that, 250, 22 homers. I barely would roster that guy at a corner position.
Right.
So in a case like that, it helps you make the decision that much quicker. You don't have to debate things. You might learn stuff, or it just might confirm your gut instinct.
And you just hit the nail on the head, because this year with all these Razzball leagues, I mean, I'm in five leagues. That's a lot of leagues. Not only are they all different scoring systems, but some of them, like I play usually in leagues with transaction limits, and a bunch of these leagues for Razzball, there are none. So everyone else is, you know, dropping, picking up. And to try and manage five teams, I mean, really, this will save me a lot of time and free up a lot of time for, again, soft stuff like, you know, yoga pants.
Yeah. No, so hopefully it does make one efficient. You know, it will, I guess, in a daily non-transaction league with Razzballers, it might make them a little more active. I'm not a super gray, and Scott Pianowski at Yahoo are hyper transaction people. I'm in the middle.
400.
I find a guy who I think maybe has a good 2 weeks maybe of matchups, or I think, you know, has a good prospect for the rest of the year, I hold on to him. Masterson, I did that. Gray dropped him in RCL. I looked, he had two home starts coming up. And even though that was my streamer position, I've kept him for 2 weeks and he's had I think three of four great starts. With hitters, I think this just helps. I did tap into it beginning of the year. And there's a guy like Matt Joyce who does well against righties. And he hits in it usually the second spot for Tampa Bay. I've started leveraging the bench more in leagues for hitters. I've always been use all your bench spots for pitchers, but rotating in with this is just a learning I've had is, you don't want lefty hitters facing lefty pitchers.
And I think that's interesting, Rudy.
I'm not saying bench Prince Fielder. You probably don't have that deep of a team. And a 250, 22 homer guy, you want to bench. But, I've got between Joyce, DeAza, and Span, and I have Ike Davis, which is another catastrophe. If one of those guys facing a lefty, I bench him. So I've got that one bench spot, and I'm just basically, getting slight odds.
Right. I've been using Seth Smith as an example in that way.
He's a great example of a guy you... Now, obviously, teams do this. Oakland leveraged it highly last year, making sure never to expose Chris Carter as a guy who's not as good against righties, and Seth Smith as someone who's generally not good. Now, some of that's self-propagating. If you never let the guy play against lefties, he never gets good. But there is clear evidence that even the average lefty, Joe Mauer has awful splits. Honestly, I think he has one home run versus lefties since the beginning of 2012.
Wow.
Now, I know he's not a huge power guy.
But still.
No power against lefties. Mauer's a guy that if you have on your team, you're probably not going to bench because you don't want to roster another catcher. But it's just an example of how you'd leverage that data.
Well, even too, using that same example, on a lot of my teams, I have Posey and Napoli this year. So there might be days where my first baseman has a bad matchup, I'll throw him on the bench, and then, if Mauer's my catcher, I could use Posey or Napoli. Not that that's a necessary likely scenario.
Yeah.
Another way I found to use it was, again, for example, in the Writers League, I think I'm in 8th or 9th. I have a really good core, but I have a lot of guys on the fringes. So I'm going to start burning through a lot more of those fringe guys, looking at these rest of season stats, or even because there's no transaction limit in this league, I hope, because T-Hole set it up, so I'm pretty sure there isn't. I'll actually, start using the Hittertron.
Yeah, no, I think it's something once I have injuries or something, I'll probably use a bit more. But, it's definitely a way to go. In a 12-team league, you're just not going to have enough hitters owned that there's going to be guys starting today. So, let's say Craig Gentry. I don't know his stats offhand. But he does pretty well against lefties. So there's no way he's going to be owned in just about all leagues. He could be, that could be a streamed hitter. I think it's just bringing the same stuff you bring the pitchers. It's a little harder to stream hitters in terms of rostering. But the value, I think, is there. And this just makes it very easy versus having to really sift through on your wherever your site, whatever site you use for your fantasy league.
Yeah, I'm using that as an example in a league that might not be super competitive, not that the Writers League isn't, but where, you feel like you're really far behind, but you still like your core pieces. So how can you try and make up some ground when everyone else is I always find the quarter point of the season when people start to get a little bit lazy. I don't know if that's the right word, but they don't have their eye on it. I find there's always a gap between the beginning or the quarter point and then the three-quarter point of the season where there's really room to make up on other players.
No, that's true. There is, I know it's recency and I forget, and maybe primacy, but it is a psychological phenomenon that the things that happen first and the things that happen last, let's say in a conversation, are the ones you remember most. So it sucks if you have to go in the middle of this podcast because no one remembers what you say.
Hey, let me throw this back at you, too. We had JB on discussing the DraftKings contest that happened Friday night. Play with Rudy from Razzball. This is a great tool also. Really, now, if you're playing against other Razzballers, okay, we're using the same information or the same tools, but I think if you're going into a situation like that with these great tools, Arousball.com gives you a huge advantage.
No, I agree. I mean, I think everyone who's playing in DraftKings or other daily leagues are trying to make these decisions. We recommend DraftKings, by the way. But they're trying to make these decisions on the fly, valuing it versus whatever the league or the site you use, whatever they value the hitters on. So I think this makes it easier. The eventual step maybe is that we actually have, instead with dollar values, they're dollar values for DraftKings. So that's somewhere in my head. I don't know when I'd get to it. But, I think this stuff really helps on the daily leagues. I think people have been already using it for the Streaminator for determining their two pitchers in a DraftKings setup.
Right.
And now I think it's better for hitters. I probably screwed my odds of ever winning one of those Beat Rudy contests because I've never succeeded in beating everybody. I'm always in the top half, sometimes in the top quarter. Always one player off.
I think it's because Friday's jalapeno sausage day in Austin, and you're just too full to fully concentrate.
It's jalapeno cheddar. No one does jalapeno sausage. The jalapeno cheddar is a quite a popular flavor here. You're right. Good research,
Rudy. I'm telling you, Skittles soda.
I got that make your own soda at home thing.
Oh, I have the Soda Stream too.
But I'm a seltzer guy. I'm saving my calories for food.
No, I'm with you.
I'd rather save my calories for barbecue than on soda.
No, I'm with you. I have a Soda Stream. By the way, I think we need a make your own soda sponsor.
Stick some Skittles in there.
No, but really what I do is I drink a ton of seltzer, soda water, just, you know, unflavored water, but it's nice and it adds something to it. And the Soda Stream's awesome. Anyway, totally off topic. But Rudy, listen, I want to thank you for making these. I'm going to throw this out.
Soda Stream do we have a sponsorship opportunity Soda Stream?
I believe they're in the UK, so I'll be calling them in a 6-hour time difference.
In the UK, interesting.
Actually, you know what? I'm wrong. They were owned, don't even ask me how. I work in marketing. My day job is in marketing. By the way, if you're a construction company, you need help with marketing, just throwing that out there. But they were owned by a UK company, and now I believe it's an Israeli company that has actually made Soda Stream blow up. So, I'm also going to throw this out. I'm going to throw this out, Rudy. Tutorial videos on these tools to really figure out how to maximize them, or maybe even a podcast, like literally taking you step by step, just planting a seed, Mr. Gamble.
It's possible. The toughest thing when you're done with this stuff is properly documenting. So I've got some stuff on the pages themselves. With rest of season stats, we'll note a bit more. So that's possible. I think first is getting everything documented so Google can see it.
Thanks for joining us. And I'd very much like to thank the insert make your own soda stream company here thing sponsor for joining us today. Rudy, we'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, thanks, man.
You like fantasy sports and sarcasm, then I show my man your muscles, start to spasm. It could even cause some of you to orgasm. It's a Razzball podcast. You need fantasy help? Well, you have several choices. Only one chosen. It's a Razzball podcast. It's a Razzball podcast. It's a Razzball podcast. It's a Razzball podcast.